Okay, we are good. All right, good. All right, this week, still in councils for the church, and if anybody has any ideas as what you want to, what book we should go into next, because we're about done with this one soon. I have a little blurb on the end of this whole big old page on the website where in yellow it says Desire of Ages next, and I think we already did that in the if you look in the old sermons, you know, on the study hour, I think we did Desire of Ages. And I was kind of leaning towards something like similar to what Fran and I have been doing in our own studies in regards to, you know, end times. You know, like right now we're going through everything that has to do with Sunday laws in the Sister White's writings. But we're still reading the Bible, of course. We read the Word of God every morning together, and then we at night we read from Sister White. And then, of course, we do what we do throughout the day with our own studies and that. Because she's got quite a few things she's doing, especially for the kids in the church. And I do what I do. Last day events again. Yeah, that's another thing I was talking to Fran about, too. I was thinking about going back into my studies, using the old books that I used many years ago, you know, like even the Steve Mervyn Maxwell stuff, and go into there. And I've also got Daniel and Revelation with Sister White. Because now I have Sister White. Because I never... When I did my studies in prophecy back then, I never had Sister White to lean on, ever. It wasn't until many years later, even though someone had sent me a DVD prior to that, which cost, I think it was $1,000 with the prototype when it first came out, and this woman bought it for me, but I never looked at it for like 2 or 3 years because I thought, I got the Bible. I didn't get it, you know? And but I still prefer the scriptures, obviously, but I love going into Sister White's writings for confirmation on a lot of stuff. It really has been a blessing to all of us, I think. And just by the way the world attacks her writings, it makes it overwhelmingly clear that, yeah, she's a prophet, especially with the rabbinic code and all this other stuff that she speaks in. And a lot of people don't even know what that is. Well, every patriarch and prophet in scripture had the rabbinic code. And just to explain that briefly, it's just... like we all have our own style of writing. I write in a certain style, and you know, Shakespeare, he writes in a certain style, and you know, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, they all had a certain style in how they wrote. But but the Hebrews of old knew about something called the rabbinic code. That's what they called it. And just in layman terms, that's God's style on how he writes. And that's what clinched it for me when I came across Sister White's writings. You know, when that person gave me the DVD, I didn't start looking at it 2-3 years later. And then I went online. I says, I got to find out who this woman is, you know. Because I remember somebody giving me these books years ago with the $20 words in them. I figured, self-glorification. I threw it out. And then I found out she only had third grade education. And so she was glorifying the Lord with that wisdom. And so I started digging into her, and of course on the internet all you find about her is they're saying she's a plagiarist, a false prophet, a witch, a mason, all this falderal. Because the Jesuits, who have actually admitted that they know she's a prophet, and they use her writings to try to figure out a way to get around what she's exposed them for, which is so idiotic. It's just like Satan. It's how close they are to Satan. The guy's a complete idiot. He's the most intelligent being in existence. At that time, you know, the most beautiful angel ever, and he goes and decides he's going to try to beat God. There's just no other word than idiot, you know, for something like that. Super intelligent, but still an idiot. And so she, you know, I went around, and I kept finding all these websites, and all they were saying was that, you know, she was a plagiarist and all this other stuff, like I said a minute ago. And but I found that the majority, I think it was like 80% of them, were Roman Catholics. And the other 20%, I didn't know what their denomination was, but I knew they were taking her out of context just by the fact that I know English, I could read. And then I found out about Daniel, the prophet. But that still didn't clinch it for me. And what I mean about Daniel, and Fran and I were talking about this earlier too in regards to what he stated, and then you can see it echoed in Revelation 17 in regards to the week of Daniel. The Jews did not like hearing that. And so from that day forward, because Daniel the prophet declared that they, the Jews, would crucify their own Messiah, from that day forward, they called Daniel a false prophet. Well, the same thing they've been doing now with Ellen White. You can't go in a Christian bookstore and find her writings anywhere. I'm praising God that you can even find them on Android app stores, you know. But the software is so campy, it's just not worth it, at least for me, anyway. Because you can make bookmarks, but you can't pull them up. That's what I told the guy, the programmer. I says, yeah, we're working on it. I says, well, let me know, because I really want to have it on the phone. But they were just slamming her left and right, and then, you know, like, I think the main reason they keep calling her false prophet because, and the reason you won't see him in her books in the Christian bookstore is because she exposes everything they say using scripture, and it just ticks them off. It's just, they have no recourse. It's just turn around and walk away from it. It's just like the crickets we get when we tell people what the Bible says. And, you know, like when they come up and they take a Bible verse out of context and we put it back in context, it just upsets people because they hate truth that much. But the thing that clinched it for me was the rabbinic code. When I heard those, because I put that thing on my Who is Ellen White page. I only got two pages on the website about Ellen White. And I don't use her in sermons and, you know, and stuff like that, as y'all know. Because, you know, we found out years later that she said don't do that. Which is obvious why. I mean, who's going to want to hear anything you got to say when you come up to him on the street corner and says, hey, you know, Great Controversy says this, this, that, that. They go, what is that? You know, but if you say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, whatever, you know, you go into Bible books, they'll know, especially if it's New Testament. But these guys, and I put this blurb on the, I just took a section out of this one thing that I found where they were explaining how they became Christians because of Ellen White. And they were Jews. They were rabbis, no less. And it was because of the rabbinic code. And they asked the people that were publishing her writings, where did she learn rabbinic code, as if you could learn it? They were playing. It was a trick question. And they says, oh, you know, what are you talking about? Because they had no clue. And then they explained it about the style, the writing style of God. It's going to be found in every prophet. The prophet's going to have his own style, but God's going to speak through the prophet, so his style is going to shine through too. And there's your sanctuary thing too. Again, check it out. Man working with God. Just like with the second, and I believe this is one of the reasons Moses broke the first set of tablets. Because the second set of tablets, Moses carved them out of the rock, and the Lord put the words on it. Whereas the first set of tables was just the Lord carved it and put the words on it. And so now it was man working with God to get the law there, you know, to present it. Well, it's just like Jesus walking among us. He was man with God in him, you know, as a God, but a man at the same time. And that's why we come to the point where we're looking to be part of the divine nature. And so, you know, like when a prophet writes, you see the rabbinic code because the prophet and the Lord are working together. And see, that's what gets me about the people out there that say, oh, mankind wrote that Bible. I don't want to hear, you know, that kind of, you know, rebuke you get, or they try to rebuke you. This is, yeah, and the Son of Man died for you, too. Do you not get what divine, and then if you can, try to quickly explain to them about the importance of the divine nature, because planet Earth is the only Earth, or the only planet, rather, that had Satan cast to it, because this is the only planet that's going to have ambassadors on it. And so we got to know the difference between good and evil, because we have no choice. Mom and Dad messed up, right? Adam and Eve. And so we got no choice but to go out there and deal with that. Because this is the only planet that had a serpent in that tree of life. Right? And so now we know the difference between good and evil. And this is one of the reasons, and another thing Fran and I were talking about earlier, was the 322 that you see underneath the skull and bones. When I was a teenager and I saw the 322, I thought, there's something odd about this. There's like the skull and bones and the 322. And I talked about that because I saw that somewhere before. I don't remember when, you know, being a Roman Catholic and my dad having those connections. It could have been anywhere that I saw it. But I became a Christian. I saw it again. But now I had already read the scriptures a few times through, right? And I go, well, I'm going to look this up. And I think, you know, so I figured I'm going to go to every book in the Bible and look at chapter 3, verse 22. And right when I got the Genesis, I didn't have to go anywhere else, because that's the first time you see the end result of sin and Satan's victory, if you will. And that's why you see a skull and bones with a 3-2-200. Now, they come up with the numerology and they say, well, this is what it means or that. No. I don't care what you... As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't mean that. I believe it means Genesis 3, verse 22. Because of what that verse says. And I'll read that to you right now. Let me go to real quick here. Genesis 3 and 22. And so Satan thinks he's won, right? And this is why he likes to put it out there. And the skull and bones are there because mankind was an eternal being at this point. But after eating that fruit, no more. It says, and the Lord said, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. And then it goes on from there to say he's going to get kicked out of the garden, right? Which means now he's going to die. It's just like what the Lord told Eve, you know, and then Satan says, you should not surely die. That's the reason for the skull and bones there. And the 322 is just right there, is when the Lord made the decision that what Satan did is now causing mankind to die. Which, in fact, mankind is the one that made that silly decision on his own. So that's just what I think. But anyway, so maybe last day events we'll go over it again. It's a good refresher, or if we just go in, like, try to focus on just Sunday laws. I think Brother Mel sent me something on that, or maybe he didn't. I'm not sure. I'd have to look through my stuff. But just a compilation of everything she's ever said about before, during, and after Sunday laws. But what gets me, though, with this thing that Ted Wilson said about nothing being in the pipeline... I mean, even as a little kid, which he was in 1960s, right? What was it, 1962, where John F. Kennedy put it into law, you know, the blue laws, where all the government agencies had to close on Sundays. So that has been in the pipeline for decades. So not much you could do there. But, you know, try to talk to some people, they don't want to hear it. So anyway, why don't we just jump right in now? Sorry about that, it went a little long. So this one here is titled The Two Armies. We're on page 340, the end of it, top of 341, of Counsels for the Church, for those listening on the radio. And it says, in vision, I saw two armies in terrible conflict. One army was led by banners, right? Led by banners bearing the words or the world's insignia, and then the other was led by the bloodstained banner of Prince Emmanuel. Standard after standard was left to trail in the dust as company after company from the Lord's army joined the foe, and tribe after tribe from the ranks of the enemy united with the commandment keeping people of God. And this is just amazing. Our study, I'm in Jeremiah, this, you know, my own private studies. But I got to tell you, every SDA needs to read Jeremiah and read it 10 times if you have to. It'll get you out of that church. It'll literally get you out of the Seventh-day Adventist church and into the church of Jesus Christ, you know, the true church, before it gets really, really bad out there. In what I was studying this morning, and then could have been also what we were discussing from Sister White's writings when we started Sabbath here a couple hours ago, it was talking about how, and you can see this now with the SDAs. Ezekiel 38 as well, brother. Not just, 16 and 38. What you see now going on in the SDA church, like the other day, someone put a comment on one of these videos I put up in regards to something that Wilson said or the church did or whatever the case may be. And this woman was SDA, right? And she's, of course, defending him and how we should not, not judge and all this other stuff. What about, 1 Timothy 5:20 or Ephesians 5:11? I mean, where's our duty? Are we supposed to just clam up like the Pope tells all the monks? No, you got to get out there and warn the people so that they will be ashamed not to follow their lead. That's obvious. That's one of the reasons Korah got in Moses' face. Oh, you're always telling us what we're doing wrong. Well, it's because you don't knock it off. And so you got to get out there and warn the people, you know, and they'll try to get you to shut up. But, you know, you go. And I always like to, when these people get in my face on YouTube, I can't really do it on when they email me. But, you know, I could just find out where they live. That's about it. But that's a waste of time. So I don't even bother. But yeah, I go to their YouTube page, and this one particular woman was not only promoting, but making jewelry and showing people how to make jewelry. And it's just, this is how far gone the SDA Church has gotten to her. I was talking to a Seventh-day Adventist woman a while ago, and a man too, not too long. Same thing. They both said the same thing to me about how, you know, the church is just so changed. It's just the girls are wearing mini skirts. The guys are all muscled up with tattoos. And, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting muscled up, but, you know, like doing it like I did when I was, you know, being an idiot. You know, roll up your sleeves and make sure them biceps are popping out, you know, that kind of garbage. But I never tattooed, never got a tattoo. Because I was, you know, even all my biker buddies did, I thought, I'm an artist, and you're not going to find anything, you know, even if I was to draw it, that I wouldn't want on my body permanently. It just, you know, even my own artwork gets old, you know, after a while. That's why you want to do something new. And tattoos are, no, they're permanent. Yeah, it's just so, I couldn't believe it. I saw this one kid, and, you know, and I put it on SDA Apostasy and all that pics. And I'm sorry, I don't update that page a lot, and I should. I got two or three videos I still have to put on SDA Apostasy. I just don't have time to update that site all the time. Yeah, the kid is just putting someone took a picture of his forearm, and it was just a gigantic tattoo from the elbow to the wrist where it said Adventist. And then, of course, the principal of the church promising the kids that if they do this or do that for the semester, that he'll dye his hair bright blue or something. And he did it in front of everybody, and you know, made a, you know, it doesn't look good. But that's not. And then this is one of the reasons the SDR people had a little bit of a shaky start, we had a little bit of a shaky start when Brother Craig was called to go to the Philippines, and we thought we had people out there. We were told we had people out there in the Philippines, and we did. But when we got out there, you know, the real SDR types, when we got out there, and which kind of upset them because it wasn't just visiting to where you can have your P's and Q's ready and your Bibles dusted off. Craig was living there, and that upset them because, you know, so that the preacher would leave, it would be back to normal. And we didn't know that this was going on. Nobody did. And it's just like it's they look like everybody else in the Philippines. They're all Roman Catholic, the way they dress and everything. And so we knew we had a work to do, and we go forth and do it. And so that's happening now, what Sister White's talking about, how tribe after tribe from the ranks of the enemy are uniting with the commandment-keeping people of God. And they're just watering it down. How many times have we seen people come into our church family try to get us to stop harping about dress reform or you know, or even the health message or even alcohol? Like, you know, some people told me that a little glass of wine once in a while, no big deal. Maybe for you, but not for someone who wants to keep the smile on their father's face. I mean, because the guilt would throw me off for a couple, 3 days just from that alone. If I had a sip of wine, you know, I never liked wine to begin with, unless, of course, it was Mad Dog, but that, you know, it's a whole different story, because that was not really wine, it's just candy-flavored alcohol is what it really, because I was a sugar nut, but yeah, it's just the constant attempt at trying to get us to water it down, and when we refuse, of course, then we become a cult. And it's fine, it's just not like that's never happened before, you know, they got in Jesus' face for the truth he shared, so. You know, we move on. And so going on, she says, and an angel flying in the midst of heaven put the standard of Emmanuel into my hands, while a mighty general cried out with a loud voice, come into line, let those who are loyal to the commandments of God and the testimony of Christ now take their position. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, let all who will come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. So, amen. So if you're in an SDA church while he's listening on the radio, you know, you got to make the decision. I know everybody here is not, you know, because we're in this room together. But, and those that are listening to the recording later, we hope and pray that you hear the call to come out. And we're not calling the Seventh-day Adventist Church the Whore of Babylon now. We know who that is. That's the Roman Catholic Church. But the prophecy is clear. She's the mother of harlots. And Sister White, which you may not know this because a lot of SDAs are taught, just like Catholics are, not to read their own Bibles or, in the case of the SDAs, don't even read Ellen White's writings. Just trust the preacher on the pulpit, and if you don't, you won't have to deal with a Matthew 18 situation where you got to stand in front of the church. Oh, they're not going to let you do that. They'll just kick you to the curb. In other words, if you don't listen to what the pastor has to say, you're out of there. It's like with the Catholic Church. And try it if you don't believe me. See how they'll get upset and how they won't pull in Matthew 18 on you. Unless it's a very conservative Seventh-day Adventist church, not under a 501c3 and not even in the Seventh-day Adventist General Conference. In other words, a church, a pastor that's finally made the decision to step out. Because it's actually a lot easier for an SDA pastor, as far as I understand, unless he's got his own ministry under a 501c3, when you're under a corporate 501c3 like the General Conference, and you don't have a ministry 501c3, you quit. You're out from under the 501c3. You don't even have to go back to the IRS and say, hey, you know, kind of owe you some back taxes over there. No, you don't. You got paid from the GC. They owe you that. They owe the IRS, all that stuff. But so it'd be easy for them to walk out. But a lot of them don't. They won't because it's a little bit nice to have all that extra, you know, all the money. I mean, look what Veith just put up the other day, a video about him with his big, beautiful building he just paid for tax-free because he's got a 501c3. Now, how on earth can he possibly know what's going on tomorrow? Unless he goes out there and does his research as to what real students of prophecy have been declaring. And when it comes to talking about Daniel and Revelation, well, if you know how to read English, you know, anybody can do that because it's the old standards. Have they all been writing it? It's been written for decades. But anyway, he goes on to say that now the church is militant. Now we are confronted with a world in midnight darkness. Ever notice that too? The SDAs always say the exact opposite of what was just said here. But she goes on. She says, now we are confronted with a world in midnight darkness, almost wholly given over to idolatry. Okay, we don't have to look that far in advance to see that the birth pangs are there on this one. Because, you know, they're saying Allah is God, homosexual marriage is okay, going to church on Sunday is fine in the SDA church. I mean, they even got dozens of SDA churches keeping Sunday holy. The GC says it's no big deal. That's an exact quote, by the way. I made a video about that one. And, the smoking and the drinking, and nurses can work and be scheduled to work every single solitary Sabbath as long as they give that money to the pastor. Okay, find that in the spirit of prophecy. It's not there. Or even in Scripture. But I say spirit of prophecy because many of them, that's where they prefer to go. But then there was, you know, all the other things. It's just, the stock market investments. I mean, there's nothing wrong for the common, well, I guess it would be wrong for the common man, too, because it's really just a gamble. Even if you're, you know, going with, you know, bonds and stuff underneath a government umbrella, if you will. Because they're always the safest. That's why the interest is the lowest there. But they can fail, too. So you're still gambling. So, yeah, you know, nice to sell those things. You know, I had my NESD, and I knew it was just all one big gamble. You can lose it. I remember I was there for Black Tuesday, and I was trying to explain to my clients, I says, don't pull your money out now. If you pull your money out now, you're guaranteed a loss because the market always bounces back. Leave your money in. Well, all but one did that. They all listened to me, but one guy, and he lost all his money. The other guys, yeah, they wait 2 years to get their money back, but they finally did, and they left it in, and now it's, you know, gone off the chart, as we all know. But I got out of that business because there was just too much lying going on. But that, too, is idolatry, you know, putting their faith in the dollar. See, that's why in the SDR Church, we never ask for donations, ever. It just makes no sense. I'm not going to get to that point where, like, those preachers are filthy lucre. That's all they do on the TV is, you know, I couldn't believe it because I used to hang with a guy that liked to watch the 3ABN, not the 3ABN, but the TBN. And that's all. Every time you turn, they were always having these fundraising telethons and stuff, and every preacher that got up there would ask for money before, during, and after the sermons. And they would always have sermons about how you'll be blessed if you throw money at them and stuff like that. And they're dancing on money like that Creflo Dollar guy and all this stuff. That's just all idolatry. That's all it is. And she goes on to say that, but the day is coming in which the battle will have been fought and the victory won. See, that's what I love about this, the prophecy. We know the end. We can literally go to the back of the Bible and read how it all, you know, plays out. I don't know if anybody here is a novel reader from back in the day when you used to read them. I never did. I mean, one time I did try to do a book report because, you know, I liked it, the teacher, if I recall correctly. I read the first 2-3 pages and the last 2-3 pages and try to figure out what was, because that's more or less how, like a lot of times when someone sends me a video, I'll go right to the end of the video. You know, I don't want to hear all the fluff in the front. Just, I want to hear what the final declaration is to all the fluff. You know, everything he was explaining. It's just kind of like what these videos you get when you pop onto these websites. We got a perfect cure for you, but you got to sit there and wait 25 minutes before the guy tells you it's going to be $99.95, right? Well, and you can't pause it. You can't fast forward it. They lock all that out. So I just shut it off. I'm not going to sit there and listen to a lecture. But that's what I like about this. We have a thus saith the Lord. Lord, we won. The victory's won. So she goes on. The will of God is to be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Then the nations will own no other law. Will own no other law than the law of heaven. All will be happy. United family. Clothed with the garments of praise and thanksgiving. The robe of Christ's righteousness. All nature in its surpassing loveliness. And think about that too. You know how many animals are... This shocked me too when I found this out about 3-4 years ago. It's a big planet, but they like to shrink it down so as to play games with the economy. Like that one kid that put all those pennies on a table and he says, "Oh, Obama made it seem like they really dumped a lot of the useless spending by saying he removed $100 million from the budget." It's all big pat on the back. So this kid illustrated that he put all these pennies, stacks 10 high, all over this kitchen table, covered it. And he says, this is the present budget. This is what we're spending now. Each penny represents $1 billion, I think he said. It was in the billions because it was in the trillions. It was, you know, the end result was trillions of dollars that we're wasting, right? But our government says we don't have this kind of money, but yet it's obvious the American people, with our taxes, they do have a lot of money from us, but they'll like to play it down otherwise. And so what the kid did is, okay, when Obama took that money out, I'm going to show you how many of the pennies were removed from the pile. And you think he's going to grab, you know, a big bucket and take about half. And he says, well, that's not a lot. He picked up one penny. And he says, I'm not ended. I'm not done here. He cut the penny in half with shears. And then he cut it in half again, and he showed this quarter penny right here. And he says, I can't get it down any further because a quarter penny means $250 million. You got to cut this in half again and then remove 25% of that to come to $100 million. That's how much he took out of the budget. And it was like, oh, there's a shocker. And so the reason I said all that is because I was shocked out of my socks. Because, like, you know, I like to read a lot of stuff about science and even nature at times. And It's hundreds of thousands of species, animals, different types of animals that are extinct on our planet because of us, because of mankind. And that's bad enough. I mean, you could still go into a forest and occasionally run across some little buggers running around, right? But it ain't like it was when I was a teenager going out there walking the woods because, you know, I would still go out there and talk to God even though I was an idiot. You'd constantly be running into something coming up to you. Nowadays, it's a rarity, but if you sit out there and wait, they'll come up to you maybe. There's a lot less animals on the planet, just like the prophet Hosea said. But now it's off the chart how many are dying on a regular basis. That's why I did that one video about Hosea's prophecy about the, you know, the biblical proportions of animals, insects, fish, and birds just dying. But what really got me was how they said that 90% of what's on the planet, unless, of course, you dig into the soil and investigate some of the insects, because they haven't really, they've only got a fraction of understanding as how many different kinds of insects we have. But I think about 90% of the animals have been already discovered and found, because it's, we still have rainforest, and so there's still some kind of stuff going on in there that we haven't seen yet, maybe. But that's a rarity in itself. But he says the oceans were about 1% to maybe 2% of what we know is in there. And that's why they get these deep, deep divers that go down and they see these amazing animals and fish that are, well, I guess mammals. Well, I wouldn't even think they're mammals. They're going to be cold-blooded down there. And so they're living down there. And we, and think about that. She says here, all nature and its surpassing loveliness. But that was before we tore the daylights out of this planet, right? I mean, if it's not just the, and it's not the exhaust coming out of the tailpipe of a car, because the carbon emissions on the planet right now are at the exact same level they were in 1910, and that's already been proven, but that's all under the rug too, right? But I got the documentation on the climate change page, because that, we all know what the reason for the climate change, it has to do with the mark. But the thing about how that's bad enough with the oil that they're pumping out of the planet. But the fact that generals, whenever they get another star on their shoulder, they want to go out and light a firecracker off. But in this case, it's a nuclear warhead. And they're blowing these things up on the planet they're living on. Worse yet, their own kids live there too. So they're radiating everybody on the planet. And they've done this thousands and thousands of times. In other words, a nuclear explosion, where's the difference between that and what happened at Fukushima? They're both meltdowns, only one's gone a lot quicker. And so, again, all nature and its surpassing loveliness, in other words, where there's no footprint from us, she says, will offer to God a constant tribute of praise and adoration. The world will be bathed in the light of heaven. The years will move on in gladness. The light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will be sevenfold greater than it is now. That's another thing, too. And I read the white paper. Well, I didn't read the big stuff on it, but I did come across this one thing where some scientists are saying we have to rethink, physics on planet Earth because of what's happening on the surface of our sun. And I think the reporter or somebody asked them, well, what do you mean? You know, come on, put it in layman's terms where humans can understand. And I thought that was comical. But he says the surface of the sun is like it's in a different time zone than the interior of the sun. In other words, it's aging much faster on its surface than it is in its interior. I says, oh, when I read that, I says, oh, the Lord's up to something there. He's the creator. You know, you can do what he wants. So going on, it says, wasn't that Japan did that, Brother Warren? Where they sent in a robot and it died? Yes, the Fukushima thing. I thought somebody sent a probe to the sun or something and it didn't make it. I can't remember what that was. But yeah, I remember the robot in Fukushima. It couldn't even handle it. The radiation is that bad on the surface. And there's still people living nearby. I mean, not nearby. They've got their zones. It's just like with Chernobyl, which in English is Wormwood. Look that up in Revelation. But yeah, but Chernobyl, they literally have a block of concrete. Kid you not. This is their fix to it, right? You think they would have dug under, too, and put the... No. They just put a block of concrete where the meltdown was. Okay, granted, the block of concrete is like two city blocks and about 10 stories high, but it's still just on top. You know, that stuff's still leaching out into the soil underneath, and who knows what's... You know, and then it'll get in the water table and, you know, the well and all that, which we all drink from. But they don't care, as long as they got another star on their shoulder. And yeah, and it's still, you still can't have anybody there. But they're getting a little shocked at what's going on over there in Chernobyl, is because some of the animals are coming around. You know, they're not coming around with 12 eyeballs and 14 ribs. But some of them are coming out kind of goofy looking, especially the snakes and the toads with the double heads. But some of them seem to be flourishing in the area, and they're trying to figure that out. But maybe they're stopping by and cruising through the area, because I don't think they're going to be seeing a lot of, you know, procreation, if you will, with the animals. So anyway, going on, it says, over the scene, the morning stars will sing together, of course, the angels, and the sons of God will shout for joy. while God and Christ will unite in proclaiming, there shall be no more sin, neither shall there be any more death. Huh, can you not wait for such a day? And then finally it says here, this is the scene that is presented to me. But the church must and will fight against seen and unseen foes. Satan's agencies in human form are on the ground. Men have confederated to oppose the Lord of hosts. Now, another thing that just came to mind is, especially when you see Satan's agencies in human form are on the ground, that, you know, just downright reprobate type possessed people, or demons themselves acting like humans, because who knows how long they're allowed to stand there and act like they're a human? Who knows? And I'm not talking about lizard people, because God did not create lizard people. He created man in his image, right? But, you know, it's just like with the flat earth and all that other stuff. They're bored. There's nothing on TV tonight. And so, but these things with these Satan's agencies in human form are on the ground. And this happens to me a lot. I'll get a phone call, I'll get an email, and people ask me, why did this happen? Or why? What's going on here? What's this all about? Or don't you understand? Do you read your Bible? And 9 times out of 10, they say, yeah, but this is, I mean, really? I mean, do you really study it? Do you go in there and you look and figure out what it says in there, especially in the prophetic books in regards to what's going on right now? And if they do, they realize, oh, wow, you're right. It is the end of days. This kind of stuff wasn't mentioned or even contemplated back in, like, Tyndale's day or Luther's day. I mean, they had their issues, obviously, yeah, especially Luther at the tail end of the Inquisition and all that garbage. But still, what on earth is going on out there, right? And that's why I like to do a lot of videos in regards to what is the matter with you Christians? Can't you see what's, you know, it's pretty obvious. It's, your Bible said this is supposed to happen, but again, it's just like in the SDA church. You're never going to hear anything in the SDA church where Ellen White said that the Seventh-day Adventist church would fall into the arms of Rome and you would have to leave. You're not going to hear that from their pulpits. Well, same thing in the Catholic or the Protestant churches. You're not going to hear anything about the world coming to an end. And all these signs that we're seeing now in the world are proof of that fact. I mean, just that page that I did years ago called Strange Animal Deaths, you know, about the prophecy of Hosea that I was talking about earlier, Hosea chapter 4, I think it is. Or is it 3? Anyway. The point I wanted to make on that page, and I think I did, and that's why I figured I'd just shut it down when I did. I mean, because it became overwhelmingly obvious. If you look, there's all these different reports of these animals, insects, birds, and fish dying, and all these different nations all over the world, right? In biblical numbers. But when you get to the USA, it's happening like it's happening in those nations. Per state. I kid you not, per state. And we got 50 states, right? Not like the 59 that Obama thought we had. But yeah, we got 50 states. And so this is happening like really, really bad. But everybody's going, well, I don't hear about it. Well, yeah, duh, you're not gonna. They're human, or Satan's agencies in human form are on the ground. They know what they're looking at. It's just like what I've said over the years. Like the Vatican with their archives, they're not going to let that stuff out of the, out there in sunlight. And just like with Trump or any other president before him, they're not going to let the people know what they know about what's happening on this planet right now and how it's overwhelming evidence the world's coming to an end. That's why the Pope's pushing climate change. That's why he's got a telescope pointed towards the aurora, the nebula, where our Lord, you know, where New Jerusalem's at, the Orion Nebula. And his telescope is named Lucifer. He knows what he's watching for. He knows because he's in tune with Satan, who's scared out of his horns because of what's about to happen. And so they're doing everything they can to cover it up. And that's why one of the reasons I shut the page down is because it was like pulling teeth to get the articles about what's happening out there unless you lived in a local area. It was no longer being reported on the network news or on the internet. Unless it was local. And the reason I said it wasn't unless it was local is because you can't hide the fact you wake up in the morning and their whole neighborhood smells like a gigantic fish is rotting in your kitchen. Your whole, everything stinks. Well, then they got to tell the people what happened. Yeah, well, we got a couple of million dead fish because there's no oxygen in our lake. Well, if that's the case, how come all the other fish are still alive? Just one species died. Well, then again, you're going to get crickets, which, praise God, are still alive. But the thing is, it got so bad, and it's getting so bad, and no one seems to realize this, because a lot of Satan's agencies in human form are pastors, wolves. They're out there, and they're making sure that this stuff, this information that's happening on a regular basis, is not going to be hitting the pulpits. He's not going to let it out there. Because then they're going to start getting prepared. They're going to realize what's. It's just like with this article I got today. We should have gotten it 11 days earlier, but, you know, about the United Nations saying they want a one-world government within 12 years. As students of prophecy, we know what that means. If they do it within 12 years, we're going to be home in 13. You know, because we know what happens at the. You know, I'm trying to figure out, because I haven't done these studies in so long. I mean, I hunt and peck, and I answer emails in regards to some of the stuff I've already studied up, but I got to restudy. This is like Brother Dwayne was telling me earlier. Oh, yeah, it was Hosea chapter 4, verse 3 about the land shall mourn and the fish. I'll read that in a second, brother. But yeah, it's just amazing. just put it at that. Let's see. Yeah. And mankind can't do nothing. You're kidding me. Warren just put in the room, for those listening on the radio, restaurants on the West Coast use Geiger counters to show the patrons that the fish are safe. Yeah, well, you know you can dial down a Geiger counter? Just, oh, don't worry, we feed it special fish food that makes it glow. You can literally buy koi fish, because I buy it. There's koi fish food that kind of puts like a phosphorus in the bloodstream of the fish, and your goldfish will literally glow. Oh, it's really nice. It doesn't hurt them at all. It's a natural phosphorus. Shut the lights off in the restaurant before I start chomping into this whitefish, because I want to make sure that it's not glowing. But, you know. I forget what you said earlier, too, there, Brother Dwayne. I think it had to do with Ezekiel. Or something, I don't know, man. It just went out of my mind, too. But getting back to the agencies in human form that are on the ground, they're doing their job. They're doing what they can to make sure as many people as possible aren't going to be ready for what's already started. I mean, most of us, could you imagine if some of us had the opportunity, like if Trump is as down to earth as he comes off at times, you think it'd be amazing if he would allow just one of us to go into, you know, the White House library, go down there into the archives kind of a thing? I wouldn't want to have anything. I wouldn't want to look at anything the Vatican has to, you know, all that, because I know what the prophecies say. And so I don't want to read about blood and guts. I want to read about what went down, especially in the infancy of the USA, when the elite were doing everything they can to destroy us because we were breaking away from Britain under the Queen. And so they did everything they could, and they finally came to a conclusion, you know, the Soros-type guys, they finally came to a conclusion, look, the only way we're going to be able to get to these Americans is to get their God away from them, get them away from their God, rather. And so that's when Hollywood and Disneyland was invented, literally, both at the same time they came out with the amusements, you know, in other words, give them, sidetrack them, you know, and now look at it. Disneyland is literally, it's just all fiction. It's all demonic fiction. Have you ever seen Fantasia? Whoa. It's just demonic. And now its real fruit has come forward, because now the owner of Disney is a open homosexual. And they have homosexual days where only homosexuals are allowed to go to Disney. And so but people still bring their kids there? Why? And anybody that's been into the occult, you know about the round ears that Mickey has. You know all about the reasonings behind that. But no one bothers to look any of this stuff. And then they flaunt it by putting the round ears on Mickey, or putting the streets of D.C. in the shape of a pentagram, or even the stick figure body of Satan with the bunny head. You know, because now they say, look at how idiotic these people are. Because Satan's laughing. He's sitting there, look, they got your Bible in hand, and they know your Bible says, this is my footprint, that's my footprint, I'm here, I'm there. It's right there in your Bible, but they won't even read it. And he's laughing it up. He says, yeah, call yourself Christian. I don't care. Yeah, gotcha. You know, and so, again, Satan's agencies in human form are on the ground. And then she says, men have confederated to oppose the Lord of hosts. These confederacies will continue until Christ shall leave his place of intercession before the mercy seat. and shall put on the garments of vengeance. Satanic agencies are in every city, busily organizing into parties those opposed to the law of God. And it's amazing how he's able to turn it around in their brains to think that pushing something as demonic as some of these things, like look at abortion. They're out there saying it's women's rights and all this. You're murdering your child. 75 or 100 years ago, this would have been appalling. People would, women in their corsets would faint. If somebody came up and says, yeah, I want to abort my kid today, you know, want to go along? Yeah, this, that would be murder. You go behind bars. And this, and the hypocrisy off the chart even here. I remember reading about a young girl who was in a car, pregnant. Some guy rear-ended her and killed her unborn child. She had a miscarriage, right? He got busted for murder. I kid you not. In the United States of America, where it's legal to kill a baby that's still in the womb, especially before 22 weeks, right? Even though life starts in inception with that burst of light. I made two videos about that burst of light. The minute that egg is fertilized, boom, just like the Bible says, the light is the life of man. Right there, boom. But now they say 22 weeks. And so he gets busted for murder. And you want to see some really ridiculous icing on this cake? Because his defending attorney even brought this out. Your Honor, she had an abortion 2 years ago. Oh, but that's legal. And then some guy, because now she wants to keep the kid and make a couple of bucks, of course, right? She miscarried, so hey, there's money to be made, right? And that's another thing, too, with these lawsuits out there. The love of many has waxed cold, obviously. When I was a little kid, somebody got in an accident. It was like, oh, it's an accident. You didn't mean to do that on purpose. And even today, some people don't mean to do this. Okay, granted, there are some nuts out there that will drive into a crowd because they hate humans that much, being human even themselves. And so, yeah, those kind of people, put them behind bars, of course, obvious. But unless someone's drunk behind the wheel and they're asking for trouble, accidents are accidents. But because I remember growing up, yeah, even with that little kid, the first funeral I ever went to, he ran across the street. When one of his shoes came off, he ran back to get his shoe. He bent over to pick the shoe up, and a headlight got him right in the head, 40 mile an hour, killed him. First funeral I ever went to was a little kid. It was an accident. The guy that hit the kid didn't get in any trouble, got a ticket, you know, for not observing, you know, not driving safely or something like that. And plus, they declared it wasn't really his fault because the kid wasn't crossing at the crosswalk. Happened in Oak Lawn on Central Avenue, right down the street from my grade school. One of the names, I don't know if it was his first or last name, but it was Casey. Good-looking kid. But today, yeah, even if it's an accident, that person's going to get behind bars. You know? And that's another thing, too, with texting when you're driving. But I don't want to get into that. So let's finish. It says, professed saints and avowed unbelievers, rather, take their stand with these parties. You know, the ones that oppose the law of God. They'll go, I mean, like with the abortion clinics, this is thou shalt not kill. Well, it's legal, right? I mean, doctors could do it now with euthanasia. Well, even though they call it doctor-assisted suicide, still euthanasia. But she says, this is no time for the people of God to be weaklings. We cannot afford to be off our guard for one moment. And this is one of the reasons we gather as we do on Friday nights and Sabbath day. And hopefully each and every one of you are in the Word of God every morning and evening, or early and late, as David put it. Hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for bridling my tongue, and for bridling Brother Ryan's too, and everybody else that texted in the room and had any things to say. Thank you for blessing us all with seeing your hand move on a regular basis and keeping us safe in the midst of it all. And Father, please, please bless us with more discernment, more wisdom, more faith, more courage, and more love. And thank you also for answering no sometimes to our prayers, because we do still ask amiss. We don't understand at all. So, and thank you for teaching us how to trust you even there. Please bless everybody that's on our prayer list, all the prayer requests that were mentioned earlier, and everybody here in the room and on the radio, and all those that are going to be listening to these recordings later. And thank you again, Father, for blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And we pray this prayer in the name of your Son, our precious Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.